Hey, bro, what is virtual security engineering?
Funny you should ask that. I kind of had to ask that question myself when I interviewed Mark Quabell for this episode. I was talking to him on LinkedIn. I was like, hey, you want to come over to Anglerfish and talk? And he's like, sure. And I was like, what do you want to talk about? And he's like, how about virtual security engineering? And I was like, huh?
What's that? Yeah.
Well, the thing is that, and we talk about this, we touch on it during the interview, but I was in North Carolina a couple months ago and was speaking, and this network administrator comes up to me and he says, hey, can I talk to you? And I was like, sure. He's like, look, I just got out of the military. I'm now network admin here where I was talking. And he was like, I got to tell you, I don't know what I'm doing. So I was like, huh? He's like, man, he said, again, I really don't know what I'm doing. And this guy was scared to death. And I was like, okay, what are you running? He's like, well, I'm running Splunk. Well, for those who don't know, Splunk is an outstanding system, but it's basically its own little, you almost have to have a college degree to understand how to properly use Splunk for defense and cybersecurity. So we're talking, and I'm like, you really don't understand. He's like, you know, I've got the certificates, don't know what I'm doing. So I was talking to Mark Quabell. You know, now we've got coronavirus, country's shutting down, things like that. And he mentioned that, you know, what people can do, an idea that he's got is, and Mark, I think Mark can do this. Mark's very competent. He's beyond competent with what he does with cybersecurity and everything. I mean, he's outstanding. But he was mentioning, he's like, you know, what can happen is that you hire a security engineer to come in and do your security. Except instead of having them on site, they can remote in.
Ah.
So you were a remote or a virtual security engineer. Mm-hmm. Someone who takes care of all of your security for you in case maybe you've got people hired that might not know what they're doing.
Right.
You can have somebody like Mark come in and he will make sure everything's running properly for you. And of course, I mean, you don't have to have him on site. He can take care of many, many clients at the same time, everything else. So the conversation today is, it's about that. More than that, though, Mark's just an outstanding guy. I mean, he is, he's got great stories. He's fun to talk to. He told me that I had missed a phone call with him. So 2 hours after I missed the phone call, he sends me a text message. Something about, what did it say? It said, keep commitments much, was his message. And I mean, it made me feel like just a piece of crap. So I sent him a message back. I was like, hey, I can talk right now. Can you talk? So I called him and he was like, that's all right, man. He said, I'm used to being ignored. I mean, just Debbie Downer. you know what? He's a great guy. He's great to talk to. He spent some time in Afghanistan doing security stuff, doing some stuff he couldn't talk about. One of the things he does tell a story about is how his World of Warcraft character gets PTSD while he's over there. So we'll let him tell that story. But I'll tell you, Mark Quabell is an outstanding person. He's highly educated. He's beyond competent in cybersecurity, and he is a joy to talk to.
So Mark Quabell, how many Marks are there out there?
I don't know, but he's one of the most ignored ones to hear him tell it.
Don't ignore the callers, Brett.
Welcome to the Anglerfish Podcast, where we navigate the dark waters of our online lives. I'm your host, Brett Johnson. Season 1 of Anglerfish tells the story of my rise and fall as the original internet godfather, and how I was able to turn from a life of crime to now being focused on protecting people from the type of person I used to be. The second season of the Anglerfish Podcast dives into the deepest, darkest waters of our online lives. We'll be discussing fraud and financial cybercrime, sure, but also human trafficking, drugs, cyberbullying, fake news, extremist groups, nation-state attacks, child pornography, and more. Anglerfish believes shedding light on the darkest parts of the internet helps us to better understand the problems and find solutions instead of living in a world of...
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Fear. Welcome to the Anglerfish Podcast. Today we are honored to be joined with Mark Quibell. How is it, Mark? All right, so I'll let you say it because I'm from Eastern Kentucky and I have trouble with words sometimes. You know, we hill dwellers are like that.
All of the above. No, it's
Quibell. Quibell. All right. Mark Quibell. He says, I have heard them all. Mark, I want to tell you, I really appreciate you joining us. For the audience that you that may not know, and I'm sure you don't know, but Mark and I had spoken last week. I was supposed to contact him and call him yesterday at 2 p.m. So, of course, around 4 p.m., Mark sends me a message saying, hey, do you keep commitments much? And I felt like the lowest piece of dirt on the planet. I was like, oh. So I sent you a message, Mark, and I was like, hey, I'm not even going to try to lie about it. I just forgot. And you told me this, you gave me this line of, you know, Brett, I'm used to being ignored.
Yeah, and you said, well, what does that mean? And I said, well, I have this philosophy in life. You keep your expectations low. That way you're never disappointed. It's worked so well.
And I'm thinking about adopting that philosophy because my expectations tend to be high and I'm constantly disappointed. So maybe I should change teams.
Horrible. Just horrible.
I understand. So Mark, what type of work do you do?
I've been an IT nerd for several decades. And then I finally got, well, let me start from the beginning. I was
absolutely
born.
Please.
You know, I was born and then, no, I was an army brat for a while, and I've listened to some of your podcasts, and I
yes, think
it's very interesting. And you got kind of a history like I have.
Ah, I'm hoping that yours didn't veer off into the criminal.
Mine did not go as bad as yours did.
Good.
By any stretch of the imagination. In fact, it went the other direction, but getting back to our similarities, I was mm-hmm. born in Nuremberg, Germany, as part of this stepfather army deal going on.
Gotcha.
So I've had a few stepfathers who were in the army. My original father was in the army, met my mother in France when they still had a base there.
Oh, wow.
Got her all knocked up when she was like 15. And, you know, Pepper over there, he's pretty pissed off about that because he was a staunch old German resistance fighter.
Sure.
He was a principal. And I'm going to make a long story short, but we have a lot of similarities.
Anyway, it sounds like it.
I got past all that. Obviously, you did not.
Yeah, obviously, you know, I'm a slow learner. It took me a few decades.
Yeah, that reminds me of the guy. You kind of remind me of Frank Abagnale Jr.
Yeah, exactly.
He had to go around giving these talks. It's not because he wanted to, you know, kind of like what you're doing, the podcast thing, but not.
Right.
He had to do that as part of his FBI sentencing and all that stuff. But anyways, I met the guy. He's a genius.
He is. He's a very good guy.
So getting back to my story, though, I went joined the Marines after a while because no way I was going to join the Army after this deal. And but I went in, I wanted to be an electronics guy in the Air Force.
Okay.
Well, that didn't work out because Air Force never called me back. They were too busy apparently or something. I don't know.
And I guess is this where the history of just being disappointed starts right here?
I think it starts in the Marines because, you know, I got in there and I turned out to be an MP.
It's oh,
here's where our paths diverge.
Right.
So I was an MP in the Marines, and you know I started losing expectations because I wanted to make corporal E4, and I never did until the month before I got out, and that was late.
Oh, geez.
And they kept raising the score because there were too many corporals, et cetera, et cetera. Anyways, so I got out of the Marines after 4 years, honorable and all that stuff. Got a good law enforcement background, worked a lot with the Border Patrol when I was in the Marines, so I thought I'd try that. That didn't work.
So let me ask you, just to stop on your history with the MPs, the military police, what type of knuckleheads did you have to deal with?
Man, I hated babysitting people. The biggest, gnarliest, knot-headedest, hard-headed people in the Marines you got to deal with. Now, I always worked night shift, of course. You know, trying to wrestle those guys around, and it was no fun at all. But
was that what it mostly was? Was just guys out partying too much and being idiots? Or
I mean, we did the same thing, so.
Well, of course.
I did. I'm not getting caught, right?
Yeah, where were you stationed?
I was at Camp Pendleton, California.
Okay.
Okinawa, Philippines.
Nice. So you went all over the place. Training. Gotcha.
And spent some time in Texas.
Where in Texas?
Well, I was in the Dallas area. I lived there for a while.
Okay.
I thought you had spent some time there, but maybe.
I did spend some time there. I spent. I was a resident of Texas by force for about 5 years. So two and a half years in Big Spring, Texas, then 2.5 years in Fort Worth, Texas, both federal facilities.
Here in county, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Moving up my story, I always loved computers. I got to tell you this story, though. I did my first hacking computer experience back in 70-something, I think it's 79, Augsburg, Germany. I don't know if you've been there.
I have, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Great place.
Yeah, we lived, my dad was a helicopter pilot, captain in the Army, so we lived in, we were stationed in Schwäbisch Hall for 3 years and got to tour all over Germany, Europe, and everything else during those 3 years.
Yeah, beautiful there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I was high school age then, okay, so I probably predate you 5 years or something.
Right.
Anyways, we had these teletype machines, believe it or not. It's those machines that have the paper instead of...
Yes, yes.
So that was our computers, and they were... actually networked. I mean, they had a serial network connection.
Okay.
And they had these like little paper tapes you could save data to and run and read data from. Anyways, it was my first hacking job I did, where we would be programming our little basic programs, and I found out that I could actually talk to the other, or output to the other machine next to me. So this guy's over there typing away and doing his programming, and all of a sudden I throw some syntax errors out there. And he's going crazy. What the hell's wrong with his program? You know, right? I don't know, man. Maybe just look it over, you know. And he's, it's hard to do on a teletype. You just can't scroll.
Right.
So the guy's going crazy, trying to figure it out and getting all this paper out and tearing it all off. And man, where did I go wrong? What does that say? Line 101? There isn't even a line 3 yet. Yeah. So anyways, that was my first hacking attempt.
I like it. So I noticed on your LinkedIn profile, you say a blue team expert. What does that mean?
I do a lot of security posture improvements.
Okay.
I guess you could call it. Improving configurations, like, I don't know, firewall configurations, making sure they're set up right, making sure they have the right rule sets, HIPs, HIDs.
Sure.
Host intrusion prevention systems, intrusion prevention systems, which are now the same thing as next generation firewalls.
Right.
And, you know, VPN connectivity. I help people improve their security postures.
Outstanding. And okay, so you went from you were in the MPs. How did you end up doing what you're doing right now?
I don't know. I finally got an opportunity. I was actually a truck driver for a while too.
A truck driver?
Yeah. So before I could go to college, after the Marines, I had to make some money. So somehow I ended up being a truck driver for about 3 years.
Not bad. Did you enjoy that job or not?
I loved it.
Yeah, it's I was a taxi driver for a while, and I've got to tell you, I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you got a lot of people to talk to. I'm just, it's kind of like working from home, right? You're just kind of in your
yeah.
But no, I loved it. I liked my little cab. I liked the sleeping back there. And
outstanding. Where did you go, cross country or not?
Oh yeah,
nice.
Into all states.
Good deal. Good deal. All right. So now, and I'm looking at your your work history here. I mean, I'm seeing IT security admin for Farm Bureau. I'm seeing senior systems engineer for GE Cap, network engineer for Northland. I'm seeing all these DOD information assurance security officer. So you've got quite the resume.
Yeah, that the DOD assurance was that was in Afghanistan in 2011.
Now, what took you to Afghanistan?
Some crazy idea for an adventure. I don't know. It was, I was 50 or something. Yeah, I guess I was 50 back then. And, you know, me and Farm Bureau had a falling out.
Okay.
I got tired of their crap. And, you know, I got tired of the corporate bullshit politics is really what it was.
You know, I've never done corporate until I became a legal person.
Oh, God.
And yeah, I see a lot of that bullshit too.
Well, lucky you, you know, I'm trying to stay away from it. But anyways, I thought, you know, this would be great. I could make a lot of money going to Afghanistan.
Right.
And I did, but I paid for it.
How did you pay for it? What happened?
It was rough on me as a 50-year-old man. You know, most of those people are civilians who will go over there as contractors, mm-hmm. which, you know, they don't give us medals for that. We don't right. get veteran benefits for that. We aren't recognized as veterans. We're just going there to make money. And if we get hurt or killed or anything, nobody really cares except for the family.
Sure.
We don't have that support system in the background. But being a former Marine, like, I know how the military operates. Wasn't too bad, but they allowed me a duffel bag full of my personal items.
Okay.
That's one bag for myself for a year.
So you got one bag for a year.
And I had to carry their shit, their body armor, and a bag that weighed 120 pounds. So both of my bags were like 200 pounds.
Oh, geez.
And I had to lug those everywhere I went to get to my destination. And if you've ever been to Bagram.
And I have not.
That's the place where happiness dies. Bagram Air Base, run by the Air Force.
So it's that bad.
The worst, I don't know what, you can't even call it an airport. It's like an airfield, you know, of a bunch of pilot junkies. I don't know.
Right, right.
So, I mean, not even the bathrooms worked there. It was horrible. You know, there's no schedule. You can't schedule a flight, for example. You got to wait in line.
Right.
There's nowhere to wait. So across the way was the USO, and that's packed. So everybody's sleeping outside on their 200-pound packs.
Right.
On their 200-pound duffel bags, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for 3 days, that's how I had to live. Before I finally got to a destination, not my final one,
right?
But to a destination to do a little on-site training. And I finally got out of that other place. I don't know how many bases I've been in Afghanistan, maybe four total.
Oh, wow.
Finally ended up in Jalalabad. A lot of people know that's the base where the CIA set up for killing Osama.
Right, right.
And so I was at that base. It was pretty crazy there. You know, it was on the border of Pakistan. So we got bombed a lot. Everybody was fairly safe because it was a huge base, and the guys, apparently Afghans don't know how to aim, so they always missed.
Well, let me ask you. So you said you got bombed a lot, and I've got some family that was over there, and some friends that have been over there.
Yeah.
And you know, they were in the bases, and they talk about the bombing, the bombs landing and the explosions and everything. And while those weren't hitting the base, they were close enough that they gave some of these people that I know PTSD. Have you suffered from anything like that or not?
No, I don't have any of that.
Okay, good, good.
So, I got to tell you, maybe I got a little virtual PTSD. Because I was sitting in my room, and the biggest bomb that ever hit us I think it was a huge truck bomb outside of the gate.
Oh, geez.
And my laptop, I was playing WoW. And my
So you were playing World of Warcraft.
Exactly. So, my character, I think, in WoW, you know, has suffered PTSD because of this. That's my theory, anyway. No, I'm
so the bomb lands. What do you think it was? An in-game explosion? You're like, damn, that audio is really good.
I was like, damn, I didn't know my laptop had this kind of reaction. Because my laptop jumped up two inches from the desk I was on.
Oh, geez. Oh, geez.
Flew up in the air while I was typing.
Good Lord, man.
I'm surprised.
So you said that. So I guess the internet connection was good enough so you could play online.
I wasn't really playing WoW. I just made that up.
Okay. I just made it. It sounds good, Brett. You're asking too many questions. Now you're making me be truthful about this. Shut up, Brett.
I'm going to tell you, though, we did have a great connection. We had a fiber connection to Pakistan.
Mm.
But one day, somebody cut the damn line, and we had to rely on whatever. They had microwave after that, right? Site to site?
Right.
Or how do you call it? Anyways, they had to face each other. And we had that microwave stuff, which was just crap. So it went downhill after somebody cut the phone.
Well, then, you know.
Talk about PTSD. There it is.
Okay. I got to ask because I'm the guy when shit pops in my head, I got to ask that stuff. So you've got all these men on the base.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just wondering. Was the internet connection good enough so they could watch certain videos when they wanted to? Oh.
I wouldn't know anything about that, sir.
Well, I know you of course you wouldn't. You're an upstanding, wholesome person. But yeah. You were surrounded by all these not so much upstanding people.
And let me just add to that the men and women were not allowed to be anywhere near each other.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
And there's no alcohol allowed in the entire country.
Ooh.
So now what you got? A computer?
Exactly. That's what you got. That's exactly what you've got. So yeah. You make do with the best you've got.
Yep. I'm sure there was a lot of streaming going on.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
The walls were very thin there, so it was kind of hard sometimes.
And for those listening, Mark had, I was texting with him 4 or 5 days ago, and I asked him if he'd like to be on the show. And he was like, I'm not very interesting, Brett. And I'm like, dude, I'm sure you are. Besides, I just need someone knowledgeable. I'm sure you're more than interesting. So we hear these stories now. Mark is extremely interesting. He lied to us. So not only did he lie about World of Warcraft, but he's been dishonest about how interesting he is as well. So maybe. So you had mentioned, because I was like, what would you like to talk about? And you mentioned virtual security engineering.
Yes.
Explain.
I don't know why this isn't a thing.
And I would agree.
I don't understand it. Why, with with your cities being hacked and your county government and municipalities out there getting all ransomware and everything, and all of this stuff happening to hospitals. You know, I work in the healthcare industry as well. The majority of our work is hospitals and whatnot right now, but I see a huge need for somebody to just be there to be your security person. And it doesn't have to be, 40 hours a week. Somebody like me to come in and do, you know, we have for example, a SIM. We have logging taking place. We have security logging, data security logging that is hopefully people are doing in their organization. Some of them aren't, but anyways, you need somebody to watch that to make sure that nothing funky is going on in your network.
Right.
It could be a virtual security engineer coming in virtually, remotely, not coming in physically, that is, and just logging into the site saying, yep, this looks good. That's an hour billing for the week or whatever, or a day or whatever.
Sure.
You're done. That's a lot better than not having anybody. I mean, it makes sense to have an expert available.
I agree.
However many hours a week. No.
And, you know, we're in a position now, as everyone listening knows, right now we're going through this whole coronavirus, not only the virus itself, but the fear of it. And people are being told to stay at home, work out of the house, things like that. So it seems to me that especially right now, we have a need for this. But I'll tell you one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you about this. I was in North Carolina about 6 weeks ago. And I won't tell you the city that I was in, but I was giving a presentation. When I got through the presentation, a gentleman walks up to me, and he was the network administrator for that county. And he had been in the military. He looks at me, he was like, "Can I ask you a question?" I'm like, "Sure." He was like, "Look," he said, "I just got out of the military, and I don't know what I'm doing." And it got me so bad, I was like, "What are you talking about?" He was like, "Look," he said, "honestly, I'm the network admin, and I don't understand this job at all." And I'm like, "Okay, so what's going on?" He's like, "Well, we've got Splunk." And I was like, "Okay, that Splunk's great." he's like, "But it just, we've got it on. But other than Splunk, I honestly don't know how to do any of the work that I'm required to do." Yeah. And it got me so bad that, you know, I was like, "Look," I said, "anything I can do to help you, I will." I said, "I'm not really trained in the type of job you do." I said, "I'm more cybercrime, identity theft, that type of aspect." And, I mean, he was honestly worried about that. So when you mentioned to me about virtual security engineers, about people coming in, you know, remoting in and helping out, this seems to be exactly what we need. Because let's be honest, we've got a lot of people that are entering the cybersecurity field. When they come out of whatever education background they've got for that, there's this big disconnect between the education environment and what actual cybersecurity looks like. So we've got that problem. We've got a lot of people too that, you know, they take the boot camps just to pass the certificate. So they understand exactly what's in the boot camp, but they don't understand anything else outside of that. So it seems to me that what you're talking about fills that hole pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You had mentioned this guy, and I'm kind of picturing him in his admin role in the Army. And I'm seeing it for real, because I've seen them. All they do is sit there and make a couple shares, and they just sit back and relax for the next, you know, the rest of the day or whatever.
Exactly.
Not
exactly.
That hard of a job there.
No, it's not.
Here he is. He's being faced with Splunk. Okay. Splunk is the hardest logging system ever.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
If you have your own certification program, you know it's going to be difficult.
Right.
You know, it's like getting another degree or something. It's like having a college degree and just Splunk.
I agree.
I don't know if you've ever done like an actual query in there, but the query language isn't even standard. It's like its own, you know, it's kind of like learning new code.
No, I agree. I agree completely.
So how does this guy who's an admin going to do that? Well, he's not. He's going to say, he's going to look at it and says, "Well, I think it's working because
I think it's working. It looks like it's working. It's doing something."
Well, little numbers that are going up, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And this was the I was in North Carolina the week after the Cherokee Nation had been hit with ransomware. And it was, as far as I know, it's the first time that ransomware was installed by an insider. And what had happened was Cherokee Nation, one of the techies over there, he had been accessing the Cherokee Nation's surveillance cameras to look at women. They had found, they found out about it. So they suspended him. Yeah, a week later, it's hit with ransomware. Turns out dude got pissed off and installed ransomware on the system. Wow. Of course, he's charged for that now. But it seems to me that we've got, as you mentioned, healthcare and everything else, we've got a whole slew of cybersecurity issues that could be addressed. You know, certainly you have the on-site people. I don't think that's going to change. But we have professionals out there like yourself that could come in and do virtual engineering as well and really plug a lot of these holes that need to be plugged.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it. That's essentially the services. You know, it's your security guy who doesn't need a learning curve,
right,
who knows what the hell they're doing and is taking a very productive amount of time and charging you for what is reasonable and appropriate for the size of your organization. To make your data secure, I think it's worth it. No matter where you're at, you know, public, private institution, all that jazz, you know, everybody should benefit from a service like this.
I agree. So let me ask you, because, you know, I'm the crime guy. How would be a safe way for a company to do this so that a company doesn't go and get some idiot out there that's looking to remote in and install crap?
You can't.
You can't.
I don't know. There could be some kind of vetting process. That's a good question. You know, I think you got to look at, you know, investigate people on LinkedIn like you do.
Sure.
Or, excuse me, other places like that where you can kind of be vetted a little bit. I mean, I, for example, you know, again, that's a real good point you make. When, I don't know if you ever heard of InfraGuard.
I have, yes.
But they love kind them. Of vet people, right? They got, you know, FBI's there. So they kind of vet you. Another organization, I got my carry conceal permit, right? So they vet you. They look at your criminal history and all that jazz.
Sure.
So I don't know. Maybe there should be a vetting process somewhere along that line.
Well, that's a pretty good idea. I mean, you could certainly have a well-known group or organization vet the virtual people that way, and you know, make sure that anyone who's interested in that only goes with someone who's approved.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Why don't you go ahead and make that happen?
Well, I think we need to start talking about it. We are talking about it now. So maybe we can start having this conversation with more people. We'll see. I think it's a great idea.
I do. Yep.
What do you think the problems are coming up with cybersecurity?
You know, it's the same old SOSDD. Is that the...
And that's pretty much what I see. I'm asked all the time, what do you see as the new crimes in 3 to 5 years? Well, it's the same as the crimes that are going on right now. Crimes that were happening 10 years ago. So some different tools. That's about it.
The crime is humanity.
That's it. Yeah. That's it.
You know, there's going to be, continue to be new indicators of compromise, new threat avenues. Avenues is not the right word, but new indicators. And there's going to continue to be human error involved with problems that arise, you know, because they don't have a security engineer to do the right thing.
Right.
Or they're not doing their job, or whatever the problem may be. But automation and AI will help us with some of that stuff.
You're right. You're right. It will.
I'm not sure it's going to get worse. I don't know. It's not going to get worse or better, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think, too. You know, we've got, and I've been bitching about this the past few weeks, but, you know, we've got all these security companies out there. A lot of them are simply snake oil salesmen. There are some good ones, but, you know, it's pretty much status quo. I mean, it's compromising the human. It's using the same old off-the-shelf products that criminals have been using for a while. My view is that criminals are becoming a little bit better educated on how to use some of those tools, but it still remains the status quo. Before we close the interview, I don't like to leave people down. So what type of suggestions do you have that people need to do, not only just citizens, but companies, to have better security overall?
You know, it's not a shortage of people. They're gonna say that there's a shortage of talent. I think what they mean is there's a shortage of extremely good talent.
Ah, right.
And right. There is that, because I'm involved with that. I see a lot of BS, like you mentioned. I've seen the snake oil. I've seen people on the other side, though, corporations accepting the snake oil so they can check off their little box.
Sure.
So not a lot of people are really, you know, it's almost like working for the government. It's not their money. They don't care how they spend it. In a company, less fraud happens because it is their money. But it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody else that works there that is not involved with the money is doing the right thing for the right purposes.
Right.
So my concern is only that, guys, get the right services out there. Guys and gals, get the right services from the right people, from reputable sources. I'm not trying to sell myself here. Just find a good reputable source that gives you good services that you're very happy with.
And I appreciate you saying you're not trying to sell yourself, but let's be honest, you are well-versed in what you're talking about, and where a lot of people are not, you are. And I appreciate you saying that you're not trying to sell your services. So let me do that for you. Mark is extremely knowledgeable and very competent. I would say beyond competent with everything he talks about. You can't do much better than reaching out to Mark for information, for services, everything else. Mark, I just want to say I really appreciate you coming on. I think that you're an extremely fascinating person, and I would really like to have you back on again if you don't mind.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Brett. And I'll continue to listen to your podcast because I think they're hilarious.
All right. Thank you so much, Mark. Have a great day.
As a final note to this episode of the Anglerfish Podcast, Mark Wibell would like you to know he understands PTSD is an extremely serious issue affecting many people. And while he joked about a World of Warcraft character suffering from it, he does not intend to dismiss the severity of PTSD and urges those suffering from it to seek out help. And we at the Anglerfish Podcast would like Mark to know we think he is an outstanding person and we appreciate all he does.
Remember, stay safe, stay secure, and stay vigilant.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.